John chapter 13. I want to read several scriptures to you. And the message today is the love of Jesus' own for Jesus. Last week, we read in John 13, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I spoke last week about Jesus' love for his own. This week, I want to speak about Jesus' own love for Jesus. Now, John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. You should ask the question, you said you were going to talk about Jesus' own loving Jesus. Here it's Jesus talking about his own loving one another. But we'll see. Now, chapter 14. Chapter 14. Verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Now, look at verse 24. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my words. So here, it does speak about our love for Jesus. Look at verse 15 again. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Then, the proof of your love for Jesus is the keeping of his commandments. So we have to find out what the commandments are. That's why I read you that first portion in John 13. A new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another. You say then, if I love the Lord Jesus, I have to keep his commandments, and his commandment is that I love the people of God. Yes. Now, chapter 15. Chapter 15. Verse 9. Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, chapter 16. Chapter 16. If those babies get too noisy, I think you can hear me upstairs in the ballroom. We'll see. John 16. Now you're going to see why this is the most important verse I've read so far. Please notice that the verses that I've read speak about loving Jesus, but the Savior says, if you love me, if you love me, that doesn't say that you love him. He says, if you love me, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. But now, this is what is so thrilling. Look in chapter 16. 16, verse 27. Now listen to this. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me. thy God. This verse says, you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. You had better remember this verse, because you'll be hard-pressed to find many others where the Lord Jesus says, you love me. I've given you numerous verses that say Jesus loves me, but you find very few verses that say we love Jesus. Here is one of them. Listen to it again. The Savior says, the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. Two things. The Savior says, you have believed and you have loved. Thank God for that. Now, turn to chapter 5 of John. I'm reading these purposely in this order. John chapter 5. Because I told you about the love of Christ for his own. Now, here is the love of Christ's own for him. And let's see what he says about others that are not his own. John chapter 5, and look at verse 41. I receive not glory from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in yourselves, in your hearts. And this is, I know that there is no love for God in you. Do you see the contrast? In chapter 16 it says, you have loved me. And this verse says, you have no love for God in yourselves. Look at chapter 8. Chapter 8. Look at verse 39. They answered and said unto him, our father is Abraham. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. You do the works of your father. They said unto him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I came forth and am come from God. For neither have I come of myself, but he sent me. Notice that test, please. The Lord Jesus says, if any man says, God is my Father, the Lord Jesus says, if God were your Father, you would love me. And the Lord Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Two things now. If God is any man's Father, he has to love the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says that. Now, let's look at chapter 21. Chapter 21. Verse 15. So when they had broken their fast, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, take care of my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you love me? He said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, I'll read just one more verse in Romans. Turn to Romans, and then I will explain some of these things to you. Romans, make it 1 Corinthians 16, 1 Corinthians 16, But I will read you this reference myself from Romans, because it is a rare reference. It speaks here of the love of the Spirit. Seldom do we read of the love of the Spirit of God, but that's in Romans. But now, in 1 Corinthians 16, look at verse 21. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. And now I will interpret these words. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Come, Lord Jesus. So when you hear anathema, that means accursed. Maranatha means come, Lord Jesus. If any man loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Now, let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for so much that is in thy word that tells us about love. Everybody's love. The presence of some of it, the absence of some of it, the truth about it, our God. Because thou dost say, let love be without hypocrisy. So many kinds of love in the Scriptures. And it is our desire today to learn not only about your Son's love for us, we've been thinking about that this whole month, our God. But for a little while, let us think about our love for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Our Father, we're so glad that He loved us. We're thankful that you loved us and gave your Son for us, that Jesus loved us and gave Himself for us. And we are thankful that now you expect us in return to love your Son. Not to love Him before you first loved us, but since you have loved us, Father, now to love Him. And let us know that it will take a miracle for this to occur, but you are the God who performs miracles. We remember the kind that you performed in the days of Christ. Were not the eyes of the blind open, the lame, the deaf, all of these were healed. And now, Father, you're working in a spiritual way upon the hearts of men. And that is our desire today, that you shall enable some here who have never loved to love. And for us who do love, to love you more. And this will take the working of thy Spirit, and that is what we pray for today. We thank you for all your blessings to us this past week, that we're here this day. And we pray that, as your Son said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, and as your Scriptures say, preach the word, that this shall be accomplished. Empower thy servant and prepare the hearts of all of those who are here listening. We confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If there were a percentage as to how often the Scripture speaks about Jesus loving us and our loving Jesus, the percentage would be one-sided, because it is so evident that Jesus loves us. There are so many proofs that Jesus loves us. And that's why I spoke to you 4 weeks on Jesus' love for us. Think of that. To speak 4 weeks on it, and I could go on and on and on speaking about the love of Jesus for His own. But eventually, what happens, and this is something for which the evangelical should be criticized, they are always talking about salvation being without works. It's free. You do nothing. That's what they preach all the time, not realizing that the very next verse after Ephesians 2:8-9 says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, ever preach salvation is a free gift of God. But having preached that, understand that having received salvation as a free gift, God expects you to work. It is God who worketh in you, and God expects you to work. Now, in like manner, if there are those who are about preaching that worldlings love God, that there is a love of God in the hearts of all men, that is a lie. You know it as well as I do. And I believe that all these modernistic, liberal preachers, if they look at the hearts of men, they know that that's a lie. What they should do is to learn what Jeremiah says about the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God knows it. And I told you in past weeks that God looked over his creation and he saw that every imagination of the heart of man was only evil continually. And God said, the end of all flesh is come before me. So, if you look at the natural man, there is no love in the heart of the natural man for God. It's just that simple. You say, but the natural man, they go to church, they worship God. Yes, and so did Cain. The reason that Cain killed his brother was because of Cain's own worship of God. You say, how can you say that? Because Cain brought God a gift. He said, here's something for you. And in essence, it was this, take it or leave it. And God said, I am leaving it. You will approach me reverently with that which is first, that which is best, and that which is perfect. Now, I want you to go and do what is right and worship me as you should. And Cain said, I will never do it. And because of that, it says that Cain rose up against his brother Abel and slew his brother. Why? Because it says in 1 John 3, because Cain was of the evil one, and his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. You say, well, here is a man that's worshiping God, yes, and he hates God. You say, you mean a man can be going to church and worshiping God and hate God? I've just given you the illustration. The first man that was ever born in the world was a worshiper of God in his own way, and he hated God, and he hated his brother. And that is the distinction that the Lord Jesus makes between those that are his own, that love him. He says, if you love me, you have to love my other followers as well. And the Bible is just as distinct about your being saved and lost in whether or not you love as whether or not you believe. Listen, how clear and simple the Word of God is about salvation. He that hath the Son hath life. You say, that's clear enough. If you have the Son, you have life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You say, well, that's clear enough. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. If you have the Son, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. And the Scripture also says this. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. You say, well, if a man doesn't love the Lord Jesus, he is accursed. This is what God tells us. And it also says this. If God were your Father, you would love me. So the matter is settled. If God is truly your Father, when you learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, you will love the Lord Jesus. Why? Because to love the Lord Jesus is to love the one that is identical with his Father. The Lord Jesus says, he that hath seen me hath seen my Father. So there is a contradiction when a man says, I love God, but I have no love for Jesus. Then he is self-confessedly a hater of God, because this God that he says he loves is not the God of Scripture, why? Because the Lord Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And if a man's heart truly loves God, then when he sees the Lord Jesus, he will truly love the Lord Jesus, because I and the Father, Christ said, are one. And the Scripture is this plain. If you love not the Lord Jesus, you are cursed. And if God is your Father, you will love me. Just as he said concerning Abraham, if Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham. So, if Abraham is the father of the faithful, and you are his son, you will have faith in Christ. And if God is your father, you will love Christ, because Christ is the son of the Father. And this God that you say you love is embodied in the person and life and work of Jesus Christ. So there is no such thing as a man who says, I love God, and he looks upon Jesus and says, I hate Jesus. Now, I use the word advisedly when I say, hate Jesus. Did you think at first, when you saw Cain in Genesis chapter 4, bringing a sacrifice to God, would you think that that man hated God? You would say you would never suspect such a thing. Of course not. And would you have ever suspected that Judas Iscariot was prepared to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver when he was listening to him, when he was being trained, when he was out preaching? You say no. But he was quite prepared to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver because he was a thief and he never believed in the Lord Jesus. And this is why the Scripture is showing us ways of discovering if we are truly children of God, by means that we can put our finger on. Just as the Savior said, if God were your Father, you would love me. In like manner, if God is my Father, and this is difficult, I'm going to love you. You say, that is hard. Well, of course it is. But the Lord Jesus says that you are to love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So it does not mean that the Baptists and the Methodists and Presbyterians and those that claim no name draw up a doctrinal statement and we sign it and we say, that shows that we belong to the Lord Jesus. That will show the world that we belong to Jesus. The Savior said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And that is why I read the verse, first of all, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another. You say, you said you were going to talk about our love for Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, you will love me. And what is your commandment, Lord Jesus? I want you to love the children of God. But how do I know that I love you, Lord Jesus? When you love the children of God. And that is why I'm afraid of those that say they are Christians, but there was no love in their hearts for the people of God. I can look at the world, and the Lord Jesus says, the love of God is not in you. But at the same time, he says, if you do not love the children of God, there is no love in you. There is no life in you. There is no family relationship in you unless you love. Now listen again, because this is just as clear as he that hath the Son hath life. The Lord Jesus said, if any man love not his brother, if any man hate his brother, he is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And so you either love the Lord Jesus, you either love the people of God, you either love the Father altogether, or there is no love in you at all. John, in his first epistle, goes through all of this. Here's a man that says, I love God. God said, if a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. And so you say, I love God, but I hate men, you're a liar. It's just that simple. And the Word of God says, this commandment, notice, if you keep my commandments, this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And so I cannot separate my love for God and my love for you. As difficult as you are to love, there is something in us, a family life, a family oneness that compels us to love one another. And here is where I give us a little relief. Because in the description of Christ's love, that is threefold, it is not descriptive of our love. It was beautiful last week when I told you this in John 13. And I say it's beautiful because I simply brought to your attention what God says concerning the love of his Son. It said, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And it's an endless love. It goes on forever. You say yes. But I told you it could legitimately be translated, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the uttermost. It was incomparable. And it says, Jesus, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them perfectly. And so if I'm talking about Jesus' love for his own, I'm talking about an endless love, an incomparable love, a love to the uttermost, and I'm talking about a love that is perfect. And if you're talking about my love for you, it's nothing like that. But God takes that into consideration because he speaks in the first epistle of John about if a man does not behave this way, he is not made perfect in love. And if a man is afraid, it says, he is not made perfect in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So it means that among the children of God, there is imperfect love. But thank God, if a man says to me, your love is imperfect, it can stand much improvement. I'm going to say, you said that my love can stand improvement? Yes. And the man told me that I love. The Lord Jesus said this, you have not the love of God in you. That's no love. But if a man says to me, your love needs much improvement, he has said, the love of God is in you. Now, let me ask you this question. When the Savior said in John 16, the Father loves you because you have loved me. You think the Lord Jesus said, you have loved me perfectly, you have loved me to the uttermost, you have loved me endlessly? You say, of course not. Why? Because he already has told Peter that he's going to deny him three times. You're going to see these cowards in the Garden of Gethsemane all forsake him and flee. And yet the Lord Jesus says, the Father loves you because you have loved me. So is that perfect love? You say, that is imperfect love. But the Lord Jesus, thank God for this. And this is my anchor that the Savior has said, they have loved me, the Savior had said. Now, I would think that if he looked upon your behavior and my behavior, he would say, you do not love me. But the Savior has not only looked upon our behavior, but he has looked in our hearts and he has seen that there is love there. And the love that is spoken of in Scripture is always an ideal love, and it is to be compared with the love of the Lord Jesus. He loved unto the end. That is the comparison, not the love for a while. His love was to the uttermost, not to love just a little. His love was perfect, not to love imperfectly. And none of us will ever arrive at the Savior's description of love until we see him, and then we shall be like him. But thank God for this. The love is in us who've truly been born again, and that love is to develop. This is what Paul says in the second epistle to the Thessalonians. He says, your love abounded for one another. So here is love abounding. Here is just love, and here is love abounding. And your faith groweth exceedingly. You say, well then, faith groweth exceedingly. Yes, because the Scripture gives degrees in all of these areas, and I want you to take it to heart. Not as an excuse to love just a little and stop, but for a consolation of those who are truly trying to love more but find it so difficult. The Bible speaks about little faith and great faith and all faith. You say, little faith, great faith, all faith. Well, there are degrees of faith. Why, of course there are. And that is mine. I say that I can fall into the category of a little faith. And that's what Christ said to his disciples so often. He said, oh, ye of a little faith. But he said, you have a little faith. Others, he said, oh, faithless generation. If you are faithless, you have no faith. But he said concerning his own, oh, ye of little faith. But he said of some that were not his own, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Do you see the comparison? How embarrassing. That concerning Christ's own, he says, you have a little faith. But concerning this Syrophoenician woman, he says, O woman, great is thy faith. And it speaks in 1 Corinthians 13, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains. And so some people have all faith. That's the kind of faith that Christ had. When he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he said, I thank you, Father, that you heard me. And I knew that you always heard me. That is all faith. And so you and I, as we go through life, are going to discover that we have little faith and that our love is small, and at the same time our fruitfulness to God is not what it should be. Because if you have no faith, you are lost. If you have no love, you are lost. And if you bear no fruit, you are lost. You say, all those things? Why, of course. When the sower went forth to sow, the only thing that showed life was the production and endurance of fruit. But it said, some of the seed sown bore 30-fold, and some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Thank God, I'm a 30-fold fruit bearer. Not 60, not 100, but at least 30-fold. Notice, there has to be some fruit. No fruit, no life. And so God recognizes fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. He recognizes degrees of faith, little faith, great faith, all faith. And he recognizes degrees of love. And I'm so thankful, because if there were no degrees of love, and if God said to me, unless your love for my son is perfect, endless, and to the uttermost, you do not love him and you are not a child of mine, then none of us would be saved. But God does not look at it that way. If he sees a little love, he recognizes it. Now, listen to this. I could have read you this portion in Luke chapter 7, but I did not. But listen to it now. In Luke chapter 7, there was a woman who in the city had been a sinner. What does that mean? A woman of ill repute. The whole city knew of her sordid reputation. And God in his goodness says, a woman who in the city was a sinner. What some of us do is to try to pick out every sin and name it and all its ugliness. God says, who in the city was a sinner. And yet this woman came, and you remember how she fell at Jesus' feet and wept, and her tears fell upon his feet, and she washed his feet with those tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet, and then she anointed his feet. And when Simon, the host of the Lord Jesus, saw that, He said, if this man were a prophet, he would know the kind of woman that's touching him, that she is a sinner. The Lord Jesus knew all about that woman. And he said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He said, when I came into your home, you gave me no kiss. You did not wash my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil. But this woman has done all of those things in abundance. She did them because she loved much. He said, to him that is forgiven little, the same will love little. But to whom much is forgiven, the same will love much. Did you hear that now? The Lord Jesus speaks about some loving little and some loving much. And thank God, the Lord Jesus can look upon me and say, he loves me a little. I'm not satisfied with that. But the Lord says, some love a little and some love much. And what I'm trying by God's grace to do is to have Jesus look upon me and say, he loves me much. Now, two things. Concerning some and love, he deals with it in one way. Concerning some and love, he deals with it in another way. Did he ever ask that woman who is washing his feet and anointing his feet and kissing his feet, do you love me? You say, why? Of course not. Her actions showed that she loved him. That's exactly right. And yet, listen to Peter. Peter, when he was told he was going to deny the Lord three times, he said, everybody else may forsake you, but I'll never forsake you. The Lord Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crow twice. And this man that had boasted of his great faithfulness and devotion to Christ, the Savior said, you're going to deny me. And so now, not Luke 7, when the Lord Jesus asks no questions, but makes a pronouncement. He said concerning this woman, she loved much. I told you in John 16, the Savior said, they have loved me. Here he says concerning an individual, she loved much. But in John chapter 21, he turns to Simon and he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now, isn't that embarrassing? To have a woman whose reputation in the city is sullied, and the Lord Jesus never asks her a question as to whether she loves him. He sees what she's doing, and he says to Simon, this woman loves much. And Simon Peter, who had boasted of his great devotion to Christ, he says to Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And so let me ask you now this question. Would Jesus ask you if you loved him? Or would he look around and tell people, she loves me, he loves me? Now you answer that question. And if Jesus has to ask us if we love him, because of the behavior, because of denying him, because of our carnality, if he has to ask, do you love me? Then that's such an embarrassing thing. But perhaps the day will come when the Lord Jesus will not ask, do you love me? But he will look round about and tell people, this man loves me. He does such things. Do you remember in the book of Job that in heaven God is praising one of his followers? He said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in the whole earth, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Have you ever considered him? Now, will God ever use you as an illustration of goodness, devotion, faithfulness, love? Or does he have to come to you and ask, do you love me? You're always boasting about how much you love me, how great a follower of mine you are, but do you love me? And the only consolation in the scripture is this, that Peter was quite prepared to cast back to the Lord Jesus to answer that question. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Are you prepared to say that? Hypocrites will never do it. The words may proceed out of their lips, but in their heart they know whether it's false. But Peter, with all his failings, was able to say three times, you know that I love you. So it's a sad thing when the life that I live in the world, a life of carnality, a life that brings reproach upon the name of Christ, that the Lord has to come to me in restoring my soul and say to me, do you love me? And I have to tell him again and again and again that I love him. And thank God he accepts what I tell him. He says, if you do, show me. Do you understand that? He said, if you love me, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. He accepts it. And so you say you love the Lord, well then how are you going to show him next week? You're going to do it by caring for the people of God. You're going to show it by loving the people of God. You're going to show it by keeping Christ's commandments. And this is what breaks my heart. Some that say, I love the Lord. The Savior says, this do in remembrance of me. But they do not remember the Lord. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but they forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so the Lord will come and say to you, do you love me? And you have to say, you know everything. You know that I love you. May the day come when the Savior sees me as that woman who is worshiping him, anointing his feet, kissing him, praising him, subjection to him. And may he not have to say anything to me, but say to others round about, this man loves much. This woman loves much. There's no doubt that Jesus loves his own. Let there be no doubt that the own of Jesus love him. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are quite prepared to accept us in our imperfection. You're not quite prepared to leave us that way, because you exhort us, grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to do, Father. We want our love to go from a little love to great love. And we want our faith to increase, Father, from little faith to great faith. And we want our fruitfulness, Father, to increase from 30-fold to 60-fold. And let us ideally look for 100-fold. So, our God, forgive us for resting upon those verses of Scripture that talk about all that Christ did for us. We're thankful that they are true. But let us look to those Scriptures that speak after we've trusted him, that inquire what we're going to do for Christ. We love him because he first loved us. We know, Father, that without your first loving us, we would never love you. But having loved us and having believed that love and received it, let us now love one another and love you and enable us to love our enemies as well. Help us to be those as Christ loved his own, to be his own, who love Christ and those who keep his commandments. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, we pray. Amen.